that again. Good morning. Morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris Cotting, and I just have to be honest with you. Some things in life I find easy, and some things I don't. And speaking in front of a group this size is definitely not easy for me. But when I first became a Christian, I did think following God was pretty easy. Doing the things that he expected us to do, I thought were pretty easy.
No, they didn't. You really struggled.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm you, and you need to tell these people about how we really struggled.
What do you mean we struggled? We had it all together.
No, we pretended to have it all together on the inside. We knew we weren't close to God. How do you think we had it all together?
Well, we read and believed the Bible, you know, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah, to be honest, they're not exactly basic instructions, are they?
No, I was told when we became a Christian that we had to read the Bible and pray and go to church and tithe and serve and witness. And oof, we thought doing all those things would make God love us more.
But remember with all the guilt and frustration that came up as we struggled doing the things that God wanted us to do? Remember the Bible passages about the Sadducees and the fruitfulness and how they were warnings? What did they do?
The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they produced fruit of self-effort, busying themselves with activity and holding on to traditions and not wanting the change. It was Jesus who exposed their warped view of fruit in Matthew 23.
But of the Pharisees, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The Pharisees acted as if they were close to God, but their hearts were far from him. So tell these people what happened.
And therefore, the fruit they were producing was rotten. Was this a reason for my guilt and frustration? I mean, was my heart really distant from God, or were my actions just a disconnected end in themselves rather than drawing close to God? How was it that I could produce good fruit? I mean, I know being a Christian, you have to display fruit. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. But I didn't become a Christian until I was 21. And I come from a faith that was rooted in traditions and works. And so it was naturally when I accepted Christ to sign up for everything. I volunteered for everything because I thought serving God and doing more for God would draw me closer to him. But yet, he felt still so far away. Is that any of you today? Maybe the things that you're doing, and you believe that God died on the cross for your sins, so it's the least we can do is to work for him, right? But yet God feels still so distant away. Well, I want to let you know, if you feel that way today, if you feel like God is so distant, but yet you believe in him and you're working for him, but he still feels like you're disconnected, that you are in the right place today. And I want us to look into a passage of Scripture today in John 15 and to see what God says about displaying fruit. So if you will, if you open up God's Word to John 15, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me." And some versions here say abide. The Greek word there is meno, M-E-N-O. We can think of it as meno, Jesus, yes. So it says, "Remain in me and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me or abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine and you are the branches. You must remain in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do very little." Is that what it says there? No, it says apart from me, you can do what? You can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what nothing means in the Greek? Nothing. Okay. Jesus, of course, here is using a metaphor, and he's using it to illustrate, but he says, literally, guys, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." So I'm the vine, and you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me ask you a question here. If Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, which is the plant? Is it the vine, or is it the branch? Well, they're one. Okay, well, let me ask you another question. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, where exactly does the vine stop and the branch start? Is it like right, maybe right here? I don't know. They're one, right? And he's saying that I am the vine. You can, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I thought for many years being a Christian that I had to work my best and do my hardest for Jesus Christ. Early in my Christian years, I've worked myself to a frenzy trying to serve God, thinking that he will love me more. And I just tried to please and to work for him. And I know, I get it. I know it's through grace and I know it's through faith. I understand all that. But I was one of those people who, when I became a Christian, I thought I had to turn every conversation into something spiritual. You may know some of those people. Maybe you are one of those people who, what I call, Jesus juke somebody. You know, in the football field, someone runs to you, then they go a different way, and you kind of juke them out. I used to do that, and there's some well-meaning Christians who do that with their conversations. Somebody would come to me and say, Chris, you know, I'm thirsty. Do you have any water? Well, Jesus is the living water, and if you don't repent, and okay, well, let's just go to Subway and get something to eat. Well, Jesus is the bread of life, and you need to know Jesus. You guys aren't really buying my jokes here. It's kind of hot in here. Well, if you think it's hot in here, it's going to be more hot in hell, so you better accept Christ. And really, I was that kind of guy, and well-meaning, but my conversations would turn out disastrous, and I would just lick my wounds and say, well, at least his word won't return void. But one of the things I learned over the years, I learned how to talk to trees. Two people that can talk to trees, one being Jesus, and Jesus talked to a fig tree, and it obeyed, and then there's me. And I went into my backyard one day. I've got this beautiful peach tree in my backyard, and I looked at this tree, and I saw this beautiful peach there, and I said, tree, how did you bear that fruit? And you've got to listen very closely because they speak tree language. So you can listen real closely, and the tree says, Chris, well, in the morning I just wake up, and I set my mind right, and I just, and I worry, and I strain, and I work so hard, and over through the day, a peach pops out. No, that's not really true. I really can't talk to trees, but I do have a peach tree in my backyard. Charlotte Hardin gave that to me, but there's not any peaches on there yet. But it doesn't. What does the tree have to do to bear fruit? Right? It just abides. It doesn't have to worry. It doesn't have. It just draws everything from that trunk, from that source, in order to abide that fruit. So this is why this is important for you today. If this is you here today, wanting to know how to maybe radically change the way you live your life. This is a whole new way of looking at Christianity. If Jesus says, if we just abide in him, we will bear much fruit. So what does the word abide mean? Now, over years, I work at a summer Christian camp for kids called Camp Ichthus in Blue Ridge. And one of those camp missionaries here, he come here once to speak, named Chip Kirk, works with Operation Mobilization. And I've heard this message for 11 years. But it wasn't until 5 or 6 years ago that I really permeated into my life and I lived it. And he explains abide by using the words of none other than Peter Pan. So I want us to do something here today, and I want us to do the same thing that he asked the kids to do, is using some hand motions. Now, I know I don't like hand motions. It kind of makes me look silly, and I'm afraid I'm self-conscious. People, I think I'm childish, or I don't want no one to see me doing the hand motions, but it does say in James 4:6 that if God gives grace to those who humble themselves, but he opposes the proud. So if you want some extra grace this morning, just help me out with the hand motions, okay? And just be nice to me. Pastor Ron's not here. I'm the guest speaker. And that way when he calls me on Wednesday and says, how do things go, I can say our church was just full of so many humble people, okay? So what I want you to do, if you will, I want you just to close your eyes and picture Peter Pan, okay? Everybody close your eyes. I had the bright lights on me. I can't tell if you're cheating or not, but just close your eyes. Picture Peter Pan, okay? You see him? All right, open your eyes up. One of the things I love about going to the fair is I love the cotton candy. I love the fair food. I love the cotton candy. You know, I'm not talking about the cotton candy at the dollar store in the little bags. I'm talking about the big cotton candy that's bigger than your head on that cardboard tube that's showing up on the screen behind you. So what I want you to do now, I want you to close your eyes, picture Peter Pan, but this time, picture yourself as Peter Pan. That may be a stretch for some, but just picture yourself as Peter Pan and go with this. Picture yourself as Peter Pan and reach out your right hand up in the air, and I want you to grab a stick of cotton candy. Y'all are doing great. Okay, I want you to turn that cotton candy upside down, and I want you to dip it not one time, but dip it two times in a big bowl of M&Ms. Okay, you got it? Okay, you guys did so great. Okay, you can look at me now. All right, So I want you to say it with me now and do the hand motions. You have to say it and you have to see it. If you don't see it, you will not get this. Okay, so I want you to say it with me. Peter Pan, cotton candy, double dip, M&M. Okay, say it with me again. You did okay that time. Peter Pan, cotton candy, double dip, M&Ms. Okay, this time a little different. This time at the end of the word, at the last of the sentence, I want you to say the word abide. Okay? One, two, three. Peter Pan, cotton candy, double dip, M&M, abide. All right, we know what abide means. Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. We're not finished yet. All right. So Peter Pan starts with the first two initials of P&P, and that stands for practice his presence. Practice the presence of God being with you throughout your entire day. Practice his presence being with you when you leave here and go in your car and go face traffic or go face the Methodist at the dinner table, or whether you are at work or whether you're walking down the hall to class, or whether you are getting ready for school and or for work, and your brothers and sisters or your sons and daughters are getting on your nerves. Practice the presence of God being with you. The next two verses will explain our next part. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then also 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit. This leads on to our next thing of cotton candy, which stands for the first two initials, C&C, constantly connected. Constantly, constantly connected. Jesus makes it abundantly clear here in the scripture that if I am not connected to him, then he is guaranteeing no fruit. No fruit. He says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So a branch all by itself, picture a branch. I was going to bring a branch, but I couldn't find any that would have fruit or would be bearing fruit this time of the year. But imagine a branch right here. How would it be able to bear fruit? It wouldn't, would it? It's like, imagine it just sitting on the ground, and Jesus is looking at it literally, and he's saying, how ridiculous do you look? And you're doing all these things. You're trying all these strategies. You're trying to do all these things. But I'm telling you, if you're not abiding in me, you are not going to produce any fruit that lasts. And he goes on the next verse. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he that is bears fruit. You see that? He guarantees it. He that is bears fruit if you are abiding in him. He says, don't stress out about all this stuff that you're doing. I mean, these are the words of Jesus himself talking. Do not be so stressed out. Stay constantly connected to that vine. John 14:10 says, the Father who dwells in me does his works. So right here, Christ is revealing the secret of his divine and all nature. It's man yielding himself to God to do the works of him. So how is Christ able to do the works of God? By God abiding in him. So how can we do the works of God? By Christ abiding in us. The next thing, double dipped, stands for desperately dependent. Early on in my Christian years, and even so now, I can't rely anymore on my creativity and my craftiness and trying to be cool and trying to fit in. I'm beyond all those kind of years now. I have to be desperately dependent on God to fill me each and every day, to work in and through me. I tried to fit in for many years. I tried to do the right activities and be activity-driven youth ministry and trying to say the cool things to fit in with the kids. And all those things let me down quicker than a Titanic. They really did. But I thought I found a cheat code when Chip Kirk had shared this with me. Like, this radically changed my view of Christianity, this right here. And I don't know why I haven't shared it with you in the past 6 years, but I've known this for 6 years and lived it through 6 years. But really, I think God has it on my heart to share this with you. So instead of me doing everything for God, I love God, I want to do stuff for God, instead, flip it. I'm letting God do everything through me, abiding in the Father. Instead of me doing it for God, God's going to do it through me. I'm just his vessel. I'm just his mouthpiece. I'm just his hands, and I'm just his feet. And M&M stands for moment by moment. Realize that every moment of every day you are in God's presence, that he is with you every single moment, every single second. You don't have to pray to God just in the morning and then you don't see him again until you maybe come to church on Wednesday or Sunday. That every single moment of your life, no matter when you're driving, getting ready for work, going to work, whatever it is you do at work, or going to school, going through halls at school, that God is with you every single moment by moment by moment. But you have to realize here that Satan wants the complete opposite. Satan wants us to think that he is a distant God. He can't deny his existence. Even the demons know he's real. But he wants you to think that he's just so far off and that you go to church to get more of God and you only see him on Wednesdays and Sundays. And I explained this, you may have heard it before. We don't go to church to get more of God. God is, when he died on the cross for our sins, 100% access of him is available to us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time, all the time. Okay, we don't go to church and do all these things so we can get more of God. We go to church and do all these things so he can get more of us. He doesn't have 100% access of us, and we need to change that, guys. We need to flip the script and realize that Satan will attack. He will. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange were befalling you or alien or strange to your position in Christ." Don't think it's strange that God, that Satan is going to tempt you and trick you and try to think that he's a far-off, far-off God. So what do you do when Satan attacks? What do? He will attack. So what do? You read the Bible. You pray. You worship like a madman. I'm telling you, you storm the gates of hell with the promises of God, and you make the devil see red, make him see blood red, covering you from head to toe, because Satan cannot beat Jesus. Jesus has already defeated him. So if he's living in and through you, we need to stop living defeated lives and start living victorious lives. I'm telling you, we need to flip the script. We need to abide in him. So what does that mean when we abide? 1 Corinthians 6:17, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." It means we're practicing his presence. We're constantly connected, moment by moment. We're desperately dependent on God every day, every moment of our days. It's not achieved by certain steps or a certain formula. It's just we set our mind right. Every time that we have extra breath that God gives us to wake up, that we allow God to live in and through us, that we choose to live as if our life is his life, as if the things that we're doing are the very things that he's doing right now, because he is. So let's reread this. John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide. Practice his presence. Constantly connected. We're desperately dependent, moment by moment, in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must Peter Pan, cotton candy, double dip, M&M, in the vine. That branch must practice the presence of that vine, be constantly connected to it, desperately dependent on that source, moment by moment, and that's how that vine, that's how that fruit is bared. That's how it produces fruit. And I've seen so much more fruit in the last 6 years of ministry than I've seen in the first 10, and I am that old. I've been in youth ministry for over 16 years. And like I said, early on, I've tried to do everything in my own strength. But in the last 5 years, I've seen so much more fruit. So many more teens come to know Christ. I've seen so many more teens, like Aaron, go off into the mission field and want to better themselves. So many more teens going off on mission trips overseas. We've got kids working. We've got youth back there working in the sound booth. We've got youth working in children's church. We've got, when the world statistics say that 7 out of 10 youth will leave the church completely after high school, our goal here is so every student will not graduate their faith when they graduate high school. We have over 90% of our students in the last 6 years remain in church or a church somewhere, most involved in ministry. We've got over 98% of our junior and senior students right now, LITs in Awana, either this year or last year. So if Jody wherever needs somebody, we can call on them. But I'm telling you here, there's so much changed right here. But what that means is I'm not teaching our youth to run the church. I'm teaching our youth to work with the body of the church. We need to all work together to complete the function. And we need more workers, guys. John is about to graduate this year, and he'll be going off to Minnesota. We need people back in the tech booth. Come see me. If you can hit the space bar, I have everything built for you. If you can hit the space bar, come see me. We need bodies to work in our service right here so we can function as a church body. We need people in the 2 and 3 year old Sunday school rooms with Miss Charlotte so they don't have to get on the ground with the little 2 and 3 year olds that are running around. I was even called back to the nursery before church today because they were just overwhelmed with the 2 and 3 year olds. We need people to serve in our church, and you can do it. You will produce fruit if you will abide. So please come see me if you are called in that area. So I'm telling you, the way I've learned to live my life so I'm not so stressed out and burned out anymore, I just abide. That's it. I'm just abiding, letting God live everything through me. I'm telling you, that takes the pressure off. So what if I woke up today and I sat on the edge of my bed and I said, "Oh, heart, go with me today. I'm going to need you today. I've got a lot of work to do, and I'll be going back and forth from Cartersville to Acworth to Rome, and I'm going to need to be pumping some blood and some oxygen through my body. And speaking of oxygen, lungs, will you go with me today too? I'm going to need you. I'm going to be doing a lot of breathing. I'm talking probably too fast right now. I'm going to need you, heart and lungs. Would you not look at me like I was a nutcase? Why? I don't have to ask my heart and my lungs to go with me, do I? Because my heart and my lungs and I are one. I cannot get any more closer to my heart and lungs than I already am because we are one. The same thing with God. When he is inside your life, he goes with you every place you go. He is one with you. We're not Christians because we prayed a prayer or we walked an aisle or got baptized. We're Christians because the person of the Holy Spirit who sits at the right hand of the Father in some divine mystery is living inside of our heart right now. And that dead spirit that was once ours is alive again. That's why we are Christians, and that is true Christianity. There's a guy named Watchman Nee. He said, "Why is it that some children of God live victorious lives and others are in a constant state of defeat? The difference is not accounted for by the presence or the absence of the Holy Spirit, but by this, that some recognize his indwelling and some do not. If it will ever come home to us in reality that the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, it will revolutionize your lives." So one of the most amazing, mind-blowing, craziest things is to understand that the same Spirit that hovered over creation at the deep is inside of us. The same Spirit that came down in the prophets is inside of us. Like, we have a heart and we have a lungs inside of us. The same Spirit that came down in Samson is inside of us. The same Spirit that came down in Jordan, came down in Jesus on the Jordan is inside of us. You have a heart, you have lungs, and you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Is that not amazing or what? That is definitely worth saying amen to. When Jesus says in John 15, he's saying, if we just abide, just abide and let God work through you. Don't work for me, but let me work through you, through your daily life, you will produce fruit. As long as you have breath on planet Earth, I'm telling you, abide in me. And the way it's changed my life, I just quit trying so hard to please him. I'm just letting my life please him because I'm allowing him to live through me. And I'm Peter Pan, cotton candy, double dip, M&M abiding. I'm practicing his presence, constantly connected, moment by moment, desperately dependent on him. And I just don't sweat it anymore like I used to. I really don't. And I've seen so much more fruit in the last 5 or 6 years when I live this than I have in the first 10 years of being a Christian. So what does all this mean? Okay, that means when you go to Walmart today, the Holy Spirit of God walks into Walmart because he's inside of you. Unless there's another believer there and he was already there. But if you go to Cartersville Walmart, I'd have to second guess a couple things. That's a crazy place. That means when you go to Home Depot, you're not just going in there to buy nails. The Holy Spirit of God is walking through those doors and you're going in there. And if somebody crosses your path that God lays it on your heart to speak, you allow God to speak through you and you come in contact with those people. You just don't stress out over trying to say the right thing and Jesus juke somebody. You just live as if Jesus is living through you, going to Home Depot with you, because he is. When I'm at work and I deal with patients on a daily basis, with cancer patients and all kinds of patients that are going through so many struggling things, I just abide. I don't even think about it. I just try to display the Holy Spirit through me each and every day to every person that comes in. I treat them all the same. And 2 years ago, I've been at my current job for 4 years now, but 2 years ago, the doctor that I work for is not a believer, not a Christian. He's from another country. But he called me in his office. I thought I was in trouble, and he just said, "Chris, I want to let you know, I see some patients that come up front, and they're cussing the front desk staff out, and they're irate, and they're rude, and they're mean. But when you call and you bring them back into the room, when I go in there, I'm so worried, and I'm sweating, saying, what are they going to tell me? But after they see in you, that's a whole different person." He said, "What is it about you that this is just something different about you?" And I was able to say, "Well, it's not me. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe Jesus is inside of me." And I was able to share that with him. So now I'm the lucky one that when patients come in that are irate, I'm always the one that gets the one to bring them back. So it's just, I just take it for what it's worth, and I take it as a blessing because God has blessed me. It's not anything. I would probably want to cuss them out myself, being flesh, but it's not me anymore. It's God living through me. And I heard a story, and I'll end it here, of a man who goes on a subway train, had a long, hard week at work, and he's traveling home, and he bought his paper, and he's sitting down in the subway, and he just can't wait to get home. It's late at night. Been in the office all day, all week. He's been there back and forth. And in there, he sees this little boy, and he's just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He's just running like a bonkers, going up and down the train, just kind of driving him crazy. And what's worse is he sees across from him, he sees this other guy with his hands kind of in his lap, and there's a girl next to him who's just crying and just cannot stop crying and just wailing, and there's this kid going back and forth, and the guy's doing this and the girl's crying, and he just taps the guy on the shoulder and he says, "Excuse me, sir, are these your kids?" He says, "Yes, a matter of fact, they are. I'm sorry, they must be bothering you. See, we just left the hospital and their mother just passed away." And I didn't know how to break it to him, but when I shared it, you know, the kid just, he couldn't control himself. And my daughter just, you know, just crying, and I have no idea what I'm going to do. And the guy looks at this guy, and he says, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that. Is there anything I can do for you? See, what happened here, the circumstances haven't changed, did they? Well, what happened here is he had what they call a paradigm shift. A paradigm is how you interpret reality and how you interpret the world around us and how you see things and how you view things. And this man had a paradigm shift where he said, no longer did he see that boy as annoying and a nuisance, and no longer did he see that girl as a problem, and no longer did he see this man as uncaring. He now viewed it as he had compassion on this situation, and his heart had changed. And I'm afraid, church, today that we need to have a paradigm shift, that we stop seeing God as being so far off and that we start seeing God as in here and we are living for and through him. We need to stop worrying about everything that we're doing and trying to please God as some distant God and we're trying to bring him closer to us. We need to start seeing it as God's already living through us. So let's live through him and let's abide. Let's abide. The same Holy Spirit that is sitting next to the right hand of the Father right now is the same Spirit that's inside of you, and the same power of that Holy Spirit is available to you because the power of Christ is in us, right? So we need to practice his presence, stay constantly connected, desperately dependent on him, and moment by moment, and abide. I'll end right there. Watch my knee again, he says. If we will ever, when we see it, and we recognize the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, it will absolutely revolutionize your Christian life. And you will see God move like we never have before. Let's pray.